It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Get Real News Hour, and I'm your host, Mike Murphy. I want to welcome any new people. Our marketing piece that was supposed to go out Sunday went out today, so hopefully we have some new people watching today. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific time, and we're here for you. So I'm not going to tell you who, why, what in this episode, but if you are new watching the show, all our shows are archived at MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com or the YouTube channel Mike Murphy Unfiltered. And so you can watch the first episode. In the first 20 minutes, I tell you who I am, why I'm doing this, and what it's about. And so there you have it. And also I want to thank, we have Jessica as a producer up in Seattle today. She's filling in for Olivia. My personal assistant, May Leah, in the Bay Area has been helping me. And I got a great team. So while I'm at it, I'll thank my wife, who just takes care of every need I have, and my great kids. So it's always good to be grateful for, especially our family, our health, and especially in these crazy times. So we've been following a show or a story this week regarding Wayfair. And I first brought it up on the Monday show, and we went pretty deep into it, and then brought it up again on Tuesday. And as I suspected on Monday, I kind of think that maybe this is some sort of psychological operation. I remember the Podesta emails led to Pizzagate, and then we all kind of looked a little foolish because Pizzagate, you know, wasn't 100% entirely true, even though the Podesta emails had a lot of nasty stuff in them. It allows people to dismiss it. And this Wayfair story, could be similar to that. So I've always been precautionary on this story because it just sounds too strange, right? So it could be a psychological operation to deflect the attention from the real story. And that's this human trafficking that's going on. So I invite you to check out Dan Hicks, and we have a link there for his show on Library, because his entire channel, 10 or 12, I forget how many years of work, just erased millions of views of his videos, hundreds if not thousands of videos, just erased, taken. For what? For just what happened to free speech? What is this censorship all about, ladies and gentlemen? So I invite you to check that out. And he goes into the Wayfair story and how it could be a psychological operation. But that doesn't discount the fact that this human trafficking is a big story, especially now with this Ghislaine Maxwell thing going on. So I invite you to check that out and check out Dan Hicks' work. You can still find on Library, BitChute, DTube, and all those things. So that leads us to our next story. And my wife sent me this yesterday, and this is a young woman by the name of Coco Berthman, and she is a child trafficking survivor, and she is trying and determined to put an end, listen to this, $53 trillion industry. $53 trillion industry. Now, that's according to this article that I'm looking at right here. But many think that slavery was abolished over 100 years ago. But did you know that we have more slaves today than ever before? Human trafficking is the greatest human rights challenge in our history. It is estimated that there are over 40 million people being trafficked worldwide. Coco Berthman, a survivor of 15 years of child trafficking that her own mother was responsible for, check that out, escaped home 10 years ago at age 15. After surviving the monsters of her childhood, she's now determined to end the most horrific crime around the world. For so many years, I hated myself and my body because of what happened to me. 15 years of child sex trafficking my own mother put me through. Do you know what that meant? Sometimes I was raped 10 to 50 times a day, and all before I even turned 15 years old. You read that correctly. So she has a nonprofit foundation, And if you'd like to support her, she's out there trying to give scholarships to young women that have been trafficked and are now free. And I don't think many of them get free, by the way. So we really need to work together to try to stop this. Perhaps, you know, vote in people that are going to do this. Support. There's another, I think it's called Operation Underground Railroad. They do a lot of work with this. I know that Tony Robbins does a lot of work with them, actually real work, going out in the field and capturing people. So, you know, we find a way to support it if this touches your heart, which it touches mine. So anyways, okay, next story is, yesterday we covered an interesting story, and it was this Orlando news station, Fox 35, and they investigated the Florida Department of Health. Says some labs have not reported negative COVID-19 results. They had some, or I think it was 86 tests, 86 positives. They had some clinics or locations that were only reporting the positive and not the negative. So it's super, super skewed. And I saw earlier today, I didn't have enough time to dig into it, but Trump is now having these hospitals and these testing centers sent it to another operation in Washington under his administration, and bypassing the CDC. So I started Googling about the CDC, and I was kind of surprised to learn, and you may be as well, that the CDC is not a government organization. It's really a nonprofit organization and relies on grants and donations. I'm sure it can be highly manipulated. So that's just something to consider and ask that question. And that's why I'm bringing this up, is that, you know, these things are flawed. And the reason I got back into this subject today is, you know, I mentioned that I love golf. So I was just sitting around watching the golf tournament a little bit this morning, which is a completely different experience. I mean, if we're living in a crazy world right now with no fans and, you know, now they have, instead of a pro-am, which they would normally have, you know, the golfers and people that would pay a lot of money, and that money would go to charity, they'd be out there playing what's called a pro-am today and raising millions of dollars for charity. Instead, they got four guys mic'd up talking. So that's our new normal. They're programming us to stay at home and live vicariously through these people, at least in my opinion. So I checked this out. So in this broadcast, they said that the PGA Tour, and they also have another tour, like a minor leagues, called the Corn Ferry Tour, that these two tours have tested 6,000 people since they've been back playing golf, which has been about 5 or 6 weeks now. They've tested 6,000 and 21 have tested positive for COVID-19. Okay, so 60 would be 0.1%. So it's 21. So it's, you know, 0.3% and or 0.03%. So what the heck? We got these numbers, you know, if we watch CNN and Fox and MSNBC and ABC, you know, it's through the roof, these numbers. And then you dig a little deeper. Well, there's a lot of false positives. There's a lot of bad reporting. And I'm not even sure, you know, and the other thing that I learned today is that they can't locate the virus in your body. Okay. They test for antibodies. And if you have these antibodies, it indicates that you may have had COVID-19, which some people even suggest you could have gotten in a flu shot, those antibodies. And we probably all have all kinds of antibodies in our body. I mean, when you start really digging into this subject and turn off the television set and find real doctors that are giving real information, and it's out there, ladies and gentlemen, we just kind of get up and search it and have a passion. Because if we don't, what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you where it's all leading, and you're going to see that in a little bit in the show. But where it's leading is not good for us. And as we talked yesterday, you know, it's a big club. The UME ain't in it. And so that's what this show's about, is just getting us to pay attention to what's going on and see if we can come up with real solutions, whatever that looks like, you know. You know, we talked yesterday, we can vote these people out in November. That might be one solution. We can maybe all cancel our television sets. You know, our economy is a consumer economy. 70% of the economy, the GDP in this country, is based on us buying stuff. And most of the stuff we buy, we don't need, probably half. So I don't know what the solution is, but the purpose of this show is to have an honest debate, honest conversation about these issues and see if we can all come together. So I digress. I'm going to go back to the story. So what's interesting, though, so the PGA Tour, you know, they're out to make money, right? And so they've changed their protocol now. Before, if you tested positive, these 21 guys that tested positive, they were required to quarantine an isolation period of 10 days. But now they've changed it, and they require two negative test results consecutively, a minimum of 24 hours apart. So you can test positive and be back out there in 3 or 4 days. Because if these guys miss a week, the players, it's a big problem. And then the tour, especially one of their brand names, Brooks Koepka, tested positive, they lose a lot of revenue. And so, once again, it comes down to money, and the big money always wins. So anyways, that's that story. Now I want to talk about the schools testing. So it's interesting. I think from what I read, what I hear, what I study, and I have some grandkids that, are supposed to go back to school in September, and I follow that story, looks like they're not going back to school, at least not here in California. And I think it's gaining steam everywhere. And I think this is another big Trump issue in the media, which I don't really follow. But I do see that, he's trying to push everybody to go back to school. And of course, they're pushing it back against him, because that's where we are in this country. We're divided. So, but then you have this study that came out of Germany. Schools have low coronavirus infection rate, German study finds. A study of 2,000 children and teachers at schools in the German state of Saxony has found very few antibodies among them, as I was saying earlier. A study of 2,000 children and teachers at a school has found very few coronavirus antibodies, suggesting that schools and young people do not play as big a role in transmission as previously feared. I saw somewhere yesterday, and I haven't checked it out, so take it like that, that no one under the age of 18 has died of COVID-19. And once again, every research that I've done on COVID-19, it's a cold flu virus. What was I reading today? I think 42 or 48% of the deaths have all been in senior citizen homes. That's what happens. We get older. It's going to happen to me. Hopefully we live that long, and we get old, we get weaker, we get sick, it gets in our lungs, and unfortunately we die. And that's been going on from day one. So to ruin the economy and to ruin people's lives. I mean, I read somewhere where suicide rates are up 1,000%, and alcoholism and domestic abuse. Of course, we see none of this on mainstream media, because it's all about, the protests, the riots, and hating Trump, and then the corona and COVID-19. That's all I see when I watch. So where is all this leading to? Okay, so what is the agenda here? Now, there's lots of theories. Okay, you have Agenda 21, you have New World Order, you have all these theories. But what I see is the most immediate thing that's going to come up for us is a vaccination. Okay, and they're already talking about a COVID. I think we talked a little bit about it in the show yesterday. And you won't be able to leave home without this vaccination. And so, before we jump into that, I'm going to ask Jessica to play this one video that I found, and I'm going to credit once again the dollar vigilante Jeff Berwick for finding this. And I just want to play this as a little lighter version before we get into a heavier subject. So if you could play that, it's not a mask, Jessica. I'd appreciate it.
It's just a mask, you guys. Don't be a jerk. It's for the greater good. It's just a vaccine, you guys. Don't be a jerk. It's for the greater good. In 4 months, the U.S. was transformed into an obedient socialist country. Government dictated what events are acceptable to attend. Violent protests that instill fear are okay. But church services, family funerals, and patriotic celebrations are dangerous. And you bought it without a fight. Standing in a graduation line is a safety hazard. Small businesses were forced to close, but crowds to support the corporate money machine at Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot are okay. Come on, it's just a mask and safety precautions. How about a little hush money? Here's $2,400 that we stole out of your paycheck in the first place. Enjoy. Buy something with it from a big corporation. Cash is dirty. We can't give change. There's a coin shortage. Use your card. In 4 months, they convince you to use a traceable card for everything. In less than 4 months, government closed public schools, then restructured education under the guise of public safety. In less than 4 months, our government demonstrated how easily people assimilate to guidelines that have no scientific premise whatsoever. When you are fearful. In less than 4 months, our government successfully instilled fear in a majority of the population in America that allows them to control every aspect of your life, including what you eat, where you go, who you see, and your toilet paper. And the most dangerous and terrifying part, people are not afraid of the government who removed their freedom. They're afraid of their neighbors, family, and friends. And they hate those that won't comply. It's absolutely terrifying to me that so many people don't question authority. They are willing to surrender their critical thinking skills and independence. They just gave up without thinking, without a fight. Do you know what's coming next? It's just a vaccine. Come on, it's for the greater good. Wait until you're told that you can't enter any store or business without proof of the COVID-19 vaccine. Wait! Until you can't go to public events or get on a plane without proof of receiving the vaccine. Don't think it's possible? Well, you already allowed the government to say when you can go outside, where you're allowed to go, and accepted a new unproven digital education for your kids in the last 100 days. You followed blindly because you were told to do so. You're kidding yourself. You think the mass behavior won't be repeated with a vaccine or whatever the next step is. I don't follow politics. I don't care about that stuff. I don't think about it. 6 million Jewish people were exterminated in Germany because 97% of the population cowered to populist control. Nobody wanted to think about it. It's easier just to ignore it. But that couldn't happen here in America, right? They got you without a thought, without a fight. Just like France, just like Russia, just like China. Welcome, comrade.
Again, I want to thank Jeff Berwick, Dollar Vigilante, that posted that, but he was not the creator. Someone else created it, and give them credit. I don't have it in front of me right now, but we'll post the link below. And so using humor, perhaps, using a little fear, perhaps, but pretty much accurate, pretty much things that I tend to, my research tends to tell me is in the works. And I believe that we all got to wake up and realize where this is headed, which I said earlier, and that's to the vaccines. So Jessica, if you'd be kind enough to play those two clips from Bill Gates, I'd appreciate it.
You know, they took their experience and actually prepared, and so they moved a lot faster. So we, you know, we'll have to prepare for the next one. That, you know, I'd say is, will get attention this time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd say is, will get attention this time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd say is, will get attention this time. Mm-hmm. In my lifetime, this will be the greatest economic hit. But you don't have a choice. People act like you have a choice. People don't feel like going to the stadium when they might get infected. You know, it's not the government who's saying, okay, just ignore this disease. And, you know, people are deeply affected by seeing these deaths, by knowing they could be part of the transmission chain, and, you know, old people, their parents, their grandparents could be affected by this. And so you don't get to say, ignore what's going on here. There will be the ability, particularly in rich countries, to open up if things are done well over the next few months. But for the world at large, normalcy only returns when we've largely vaccinated the entire global population.
The entire population.
So that's where they want to take us, ladies and gentlemen. In the first video, I found it interesting that he says, will get attention this time. You know, I mean, my goodness, you have our attention. Okay. I guess how much more of our attention do you want? And our entire lives have been turned upside down. And then you're talking about the only way we'll ever be able to be normal again is by taking this vaccination. And for people that really want to improve the quality of their health, and I just listened to this guy today, and I'm going to throw this out there right now. I don't have a link for you, but he's on YouTube. His name is John Rose, and I think he's 65, 66, 67, in incredible shape. And he talks about taking a solid food vacation and getting healthy primarily through juicing, which I do every morning. And I really believe that'll keep us healthy. We have an immune system that will protect us and keep us healthy of the flu and cold. But more importantly, the reason I bring this up right now, he was talking about viruses and he had some interesting things to say, and I'm not going to go into it because I'm not prepared, but I encourage you, if you really study viruses, I've read a couple books on them now, and I'm still not feel equipped to really discuss them in detail. But it's not what's being advertised. It's not what's being sold to us on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, wherever. Okay. It's just not, that's not what's really going on. And I know I'm in the minority by saying this, and you know, most people believe this is real. They believe what comes out of that television set. I was talking to Jessica earlier, and I said, you know, it's, how do you boil a frog? You just put it in a pan with lukewarm water where it's comfortable, and you just slowly turn up that temperature. And that's what they've been doing to us ever since that. I mean, I'm 63, so the television set was fairly new when I was a kid. And, you know, we've gone from, you know, Leave It to Beaver to some really strange stuff that comes out of that programming, which is now 24/7. So they kind of like boiled us as a frog, and now we're just brainwashed to believe what comes out of that box. And what's coming out of that box doesn't compute with my reality. So that's what has me concerned. Now, of course, I don't trust what comes out of that box, and half the stuff I research on the internet, I don't believe and trust. I'm a pretty skeptical person. And that's why I want to do this show. I want to give you stories that have been somewhat flawed. I'm not going to be right all the time. We all get fooled. So for those of you that don't have time, I'd like to do the research and then steer you in the right direction, at least what I think is the right direction. You could disagree with me for sure. I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to find out what's going on, and not primarily for myself, but for my kids, my grandkids, the future. You know, do we want to live in a communist society when, if we read Agenda 21 and what they have store for us in New World Order, or do we want to be free like we've been? And by the way, you know, not everybody in the world is free, Americans. You know, we've been blessed in a lot of ways, but, you know, something is changing. It's changing so quickly. That's what blows my mind. You know, I've been talking about this to my friends and relatives and anybody listen to me, which at times is pretty small group. But I've been talking about this for 8 years, probably, you know, and you know, now it's here. They fooled me. You know, my plan B was to go to Colombia, where I have a farm and have my own food, my own water, and at least have that, right? You can't fly there. So these guys are pretty smart. But if we don't fix it and wake up and do something to try to stop it, I think we're going to be sorry at the end of the day. So let's talk about this vaccine. Okay, now they say they haven't found a COVID-19 vaccine. They're working on it. I say a lot, this is why I don't trust Trump, because he's talking about Operation Warp Speed, how they're going to get this vaccination going. So I just don't trust that, you know. I don't think it's needed. And, you know, I've done a lot of research and investigation. I'll try to bring onto this show a deep dive onto that material. And, man, if you read the labels on these vaccines, like a flu shot or the kids, what they give these children, it's scary what's in these vaccinations, you know. And heavy metals is a real thing. I had mine tested not too long ago, maybe a few years ago. I was like 300% heavy in barium, which – you can look into chemtrails if you want. I was 300%, I think, lead, and 300% maybe mercury. I don't remember exactly what the third one was, but you know, these heavy metals, that's why I refer you back to John Rost and detoxing and juicing and, you know, trying to get that energy back, that light energy. So anyways, let's talk about this. I'm sorry to get on that little rabbit trail. So let's talk about this patent. I find it out. This is a Microsoft filed for this patent, Microsoft and Bill Gates. I find it interesting that it ends in 060606. For people that have studied the Bible, you know that 666 is supposedly the mark of the beast. For a microchip which is inserted into the body and which rewards activity with cryptocurrency. So there, in my understanding, it's more like a vaccination. So it's going to be in your bloodstream. It's not like a chip that you can remove it. And this is an actual patent, and they actually filed it. I don't think it's been approved yet. It is true that Microsoft has a patent application with the number 060606 in it for a system which rewards physical activity with cryptocurrency, but it doesn't reference injectable microchips. And that's what the article is trying to debunk this claim. So, yes, because I think it's like bots that are in your bloodstream and just floating all the way around. And so they're going to say, hey, do this, and we're going to pay you with cryptocurrency, digital money, no more cash money, a digital electronic currency. And it's going to be in your bloodstream. I don't know, you know, maybe when you leave the CVS store or 7-Eleven, they just scan your wrist and money comes out of your bank account. I don't know. But if they can reward you with cryptocurrency, you know, maybe they can take it from you as well. I don't know. So there is a genuine patent Microsoft applied for in 2019, numbered blah, 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 060606. The application does mention technology allowing for people's activity to be monitored. People's activity to be monitored in exchange for cryptocurrency. But there's no mention of implanted chips, okay? Because as I mentioned, I believe it's a bot of some sort. So they're going to be able to monitor your activity. You know, like my phone right now, you know, it's hooked up to the cloud. And if I'm reading this correctly, I'm going to be hooked up to the cloud. Now, of course, people like me probably going to say, hey, I'll pass. And they're going to say, okay, well, you're never going to leave your home. And I'll probably still say I'll pass. Okay. But I can only imagine my grandkids, you know, on these video games. Say, yes, sign me up. You mean I can actually maybe even be a character in my video game? Sign me up. Or you mean I don't have to carry a wallet? And I never have to worry about money, and you're going to give me money if I allow you to monitor me? Yeah, we're going to give it to you for a while. And then we're only going to give it to you if you behave this way or do this. I'm just speculating, folks, but it's right here in black and white. We provide you with the link. Specifically, the application is for a system whereby tasks are given to users, which on participation or completion can be rewarded with cryptocurrencies. And please read that, electronic currency controlled by the government, okay? I think this Bitcoin, all this stuff's probably going to go by the way, and they're going to have their own currency here. Information is collected from a sensor coupled with or potentially within the user's device to determine whether those tasks have been completed. Oh, my gosh. I mean, does this sound like slavery to anybody besides me? I mean, it just sounds insane to me. And so is that the COVID-19 vaccine? No, there's no evidence of that. There's no proof. There's just a patent pending from Microsoft and Bill Gates. But Bill Gates, if you look into his foundation, I mean, he stands to make billions from these vaccines, billions, you know, and the CDC is going to make a lot of money. And I haven't even looked into the WHO, the World Health Organization. So, man, oh, man, what is going on here? So, let's move into money now. We've talked about a little money being in our bloodstream. Let's talk about this article from The Intercept. The banks stand to make $18 billion in PPP processing fees from the CARES Act, which, you know, this is where they lend money to small businesses. And if they hire their people back, then the money is forgiven. And then we all had to go through, all the people had a small business, went through to get a loan, had to go through their bank. And so, of course, the banks need to make money, but banks always need to make money on everything. Okay. And $18 billion, I don't know what the fees were, how much they made. I mean, we could figure it out. I think in this article, it says they lent out $660 billion. I thought it was only $300 billion, so there could be some game playing in that. I don't know. But, you know, $18 billion in fees. And let's talk about banking for a second. You know, on top of this, this is what they told us. It was a $2 trillion CARES package, 300, 600 PPP, plus the more unemployment money. But this is what nobody really talks about. They also gave $4 trillion to the banks on Wall Street that we know of, that they admitted that day when President Trump signed that. But how much have they given since? How do we even know? And what are they doing with it? You know, these are great questions. And what I'm really concerned with is the banks are in trouble. You know, banking, I think it was Clinton that deregulated all the things, you know. And so now instead of being a bank, you're also like a gambler. They're traders, you know, and they're allowed to do all these derivative bets and play in all these markets. And you know, J.P. Morgan has been fined and I think even criminally charged with playing games on the COMEX market, which is the paper market for physical gold and physical silver. Or excuse me, not the physical, but it's paper, it's futures. And so they'll what I've been told and what I've read and researched is that they push the price down, the paper price, and they're accumulating the physical. They have a vault in New York City just full of silver. And so they're accumulating the silver. And what's interesting, in March, remember when the COVID-19 hit and they started to, the market went down, I think maybe to 20,000 or something, it's back up again. But what was interesting, the paper price of silver went to $12 and change, but to buy a 1 ounce silver Eagle coin was $25. So the paper market was this, but the physical, the actual get it in your hand was double. So imagine, you know, what's going to happen someday in that market. They still manipulate that price down. And I'm hesitant to bring this up because I don't know all the details, but I'll just give you the gist of the story and you can do your own research if you want. But at some point in the past, these banks do a lot of criminal activity, okay? And you can read this, you can Google it, you know, from money laundering to playing with these markets, selling this thing over here and knowing it's bad and telling these clients it's good. They do a lot of bad things. So, but what happens is they were getting prosecuted and the government decided that they were too big to prosecute. The banks were too big to prosecute. So they dropped the case and they fined them and they slapped them on the hand. And so that's the problem in the world today. Imagine if you're a banker, you own a bank and you know you're not going to jail and you know you might make a $5 billion on this sketchy little trade you're going to do over here. And if you get caught, they fine you $100 million. It's a cost of doing business. So I think that's one problem we have is we're just not being protected. You know, that's why Bernie Madoff was allowed to happen. It's just not right. The little guys are getting squeezed. All these little businesses are being put out of business right now with this COVID-19. And all these big businesses are allowed to prosper and thrive. And it's just not right. It's not fair. These people have worked their whole lives. And boom, these restaurant owners, the travel industry, all the jobs that go along with that. Hertz has filed bankruptcy. You know, I remember, you know, down here in Palm Springs area, you know, in the spring, they have all these events, a big tennis tournament, a big golf tournament for LPGA, big Coachella festivals and all that. I remember leaving the airport and there was like 20,000 rental cars parked in the desert. See, and we're not feeling this yet. We're going to feel it very soon. And we haven't been feeling it because everybody that got laid off got an extra $600 per week unemployment. Unemployment is now like $50,000 a year. Now that expires in July. And let's say they keep giving it. At some point, this debt is going to just be overwhelming. It's going to burden us. And, you know, and these loans that small businesses got, that's going to dry up. And it's probably never going to get paid back. And so more debt and the dollar's just not going to be able to handle all this. You know, I mean, I think the best advice out there for people that are heavy in dollars is to at least invest in a little bit of physical gold and a little bit of physical silver and, you know, put it in your little safe at home or what have you to have some sort of, you know, something to that has some physical value. Gold and silver has always had value. You know, if we were to go scuba diving today out in the ocean and we find a Spanish ship that's been wrecked and we find gold coins on there, it's worth $18 and or $1,800 right now or more, you know? So you know, gold has always been money. Silver has always been money. This fiat currency, it always collapses. If you study the history of the fiat currency, I mean, in 1944, the sterling British pound was the global currency. And that's why the British Empire became so big. And then after World War II, they were broke. And because we went in there and we saved everybody from after the war, you know, we became the global currency, the U.S. dollar. And it used to be backed by gold. So it had value. And, you know, and then in 71, I think, Kissinger went and took us off the gold standard along with Nixon. And we created what's called the petrodollar. We said to the Saudis, hey, we'll protect you if you will just – everybody's got to buy Saudi oil with dollars. And so, therefore, we're the global currency. And that worked out great for us. We were able to grow and prosper, and we became a great nation. We also, you know, we outspend almost everybody else in the world in our military, and that's why we have this enormous military. But what I think is going to happen in the near future, you know, are you going to ship somebody a tanker full of oil or a boatload full of stuff of real value and then take these this paper and this ink that's backed by nothing now and there's this tremendous debt? At what point does this dollar collapse? And so, and then the banks keep profiting from us. I mean, they could have just given a little charity maybe and said, hey, we're going to, no fees on this one, guys. But that's not what bankers do. All right, let's move on to the next story. State local governments look to raise taxes after coronavirus shutdowns. Now, I happen to know for a fact, I have a friend that's a luxury car dealer up in the Bay Area in a city up there, Oakland, I believe. And they already pay a very, very expensive business license tax. So if you want to do business in the city of Oakland, you pay a lot of money to get your license. It's very, very steep. And recently, the city council was talking about raising it for someone like him, it's based on volume, 800%. You know, and he told me, hey, I'm not making money as it is based on paying this ridiculous high fee already, and now they want to raise it 800%. So I think they hired lobbyists and they did things to make that problem go away. The reason I know this is that I have a smaller kind of car dealership up there. And so we were somewhat involved in all this thing. And what's interesting is, you know, the small business people, the government's going to do this. Now we got to go hire a lobbyist or a firm to go negotiate with all the members of the city council and more expense. And we can't afford any more taxes. You know, that's the other thing. It's, you know, if this is going to be some sort of socialist or communist takeover of this country, you know, they're going to tax us to death. And I don't know how this economy is going to recover. So what are we going to do about it? That's the question. I'd love to hear from you. If you have any ideas, solutions, if you have an issue with something I say, just email me at Mike at Mike Murphy Unfiltered. That's Mike and Mike Murphy Unfiltered, and I'd love to have you on, you know, and if you have something that's fact-based, okay, I don't want to just hear talking points from mainstream media, but if we can have a real civilized debate, that's what this forum is for. This is what we're trying to create, and hopefully we can do that and be of service to you guys. So, I invite you to get a hold of me and then come on and see what you can do. And let's talk a little bit. I went into this yesterday spiritually, what I think is the most important thing that we can worry about right now and take care of. And the physical world is temporary. And it's for some people, it's not a long period of time. For other, I don't know what a long period of time is. I guess 80, 90 years would be a long life. Some people don't live to be 40, 20. And so this is very fleeting and very, very temporary. But I believe, and I'm sure a lot of you do too, is that we have a soul, we have a spirit, we have an essence. There's more to us than being in this physical human body. And in my experience, and I was born Catholic, and then I got into a 12-step program and started living a more spiritual life. And then I became a born-again Christian, and then I kind of studied that and really dug deep into that and decided, you know, there's some flaws in this, in my opinion. I don't have anything against Christians. I think the teachings of Christ are beautiful and great. I believe in the Ten Commandments. But there's some things in there that, you know, when you study how the Bible came to be, the book, so on and so forth, there's some things that are questionable for me. And so then, you know, I look at the New Age stuff, Eckhart Tolle, Wayne Dyer. I'm became a big fan of all that stuff. I wrote a book about manifestation, law of attraction. So I love that kind of stuff. But now I'm kind of coming full circle right back to that Bible and a lot of it, at least to talk about good versus evil. Because that's how I see this thing stacking up right now. And I said yesterday in the show that, you know, we have the yin-yang circle and half black and half white. And I just think right now there's just too much black. There's too much evil. I think we live in this world of duality. So you have to have, to be in this physical existence, not this soul part, which is in this animal type body, having this physical experience, but you have to duality. You have to have good and you have to have evil. This physical thing won't hold together. These atoms are positive and negative, you know, black and white, cold and hot. That's duality. But what I've come to believe through a lot of difficult experiences, painful experiences, deep thought, and a lot of beautiful people that have brought me along the way, is that, you know, the thing is to hang on to this, you know, and to ascend this dimension called the physical reality. And I do believe in a creator, and I do call my creator God. But if I know there's people worshiping Lucifer and Satan right now, that's obvious. You know, you don't have to look very hard to find that. So that's why I believe in this goodness, this God, this creator, and we have a conscience. And so, but perhaps these people have sold their soul, and they're stuck here in this 3D dimension, and they're going to keep reincarnating back here. I don't know, but it's just a philosophy that I have. And my philosophy to me is like, if I can help people, if I can kind of get out of my way, stay out of my way, let life kind of lead me and take me and do as try to do more good than bad. Let's put it that way. And I'm no saint. I'm no perfect. I'm a human being. I have all the struggles everybody has. You know, I think life is hard and it's not easy. And so I'm a realist when it comes to that. I do believe that we can attract a better life if we understand how it all works. And that's why I wrote the book. But so my trick right now is to keep this intact and to ascend to this higher dimension. I look at this as like a video game, and I don't play video games, but my grandkids do. But I know there's levels to these things, and you want to keep ascending up. So I believe that, you know, we can ascend up to the next dimension, the next reality, the next frequency, the next vibration. Some people, you know, obviously if you're Christian, it's heaven. I don't know what the Muslims believe. I'm sure it's similar. And so if we can get there, then I don't believe we have this duality in my vision of that. And Deepak Chopra wrote a great book once about death. And it really was, the premise of the book was, whatever you think is going to happen when you take that last breath is going to be your reality. So that fits in with the law of attraction and all that. And I have no idea if any of that's true. But in my philosophy, in my belief system, that if I can ascend to there, then we're going to have a light body that doesn't have all these bodily needs. It's more, it's purer, it's higher energy, higher frequency, higher vibration. And not all these physical pains and all this inflammation, you know, all that stuff kind of goes away. And it's maybe perfection. I don't know. It's just the philosophy, ladies and gentlemen. But I also believe really a lot is that in that next dimension, the communication is telepathically. And imagine that if we had that here today, if I could read your mind and you could read my mind, then all this drama, all this evil, all this stuff would dissipate. So maybe our job through this physical reality, maybe it's just a game, and our thing is to play it right, learn this lesson, do more good than harm, and ascend. if you will, to this higher dimension. And if that's true, it's a beautiful philosophy. If it's not true, no harm, no foul. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. We all have our own belief. I think there's 7.7 billion people in the world today, and there's 7.7 billion different stories and 7.7 billion different belief systems. You know, we might agree in a lot of areas, but I guarantee you we don't agree 100%. We're all unique individuals like snowflakes. So what else can we talk about today? I kind of ran out of my material today, I must admit. What else is going on in the world? I guess the big story is this COVID-19 and these kids not going back to school and the small businesses being affected. And it's what are we going to do, ladies and gentlemen? That's the question. And I'm open to thoughts. I'd love to have you come on the show. And if you have any good ideas, what has to go away is this separation, this divide and conquer strategy. We are so divided. We're divided over Trump and Biden. We're divided over race, black and white. We're divided over religion. We're divided over so many things right now. And we're divided over mask versus non-mask and what's going on and what's not going on. But the economy cannot stand this anymore. And people are losing it at home. And so we all need to get together and come together and do something. I find it very, very interesting that what's going to happen now that Trump is having the results sent to, I don't know the type of organization in Washington, D.C., but bypassing the CDC. Maybe we're going to get different numbers, but man, they just keep attacking this guy. You know, like I said, that's not getting us anywhere. It's dividing us more, and we're getting more angry at one another. We played a clip, an interesting clip, if you didn't see the show yesterday, of two women just dressing this guy down in I think a Walmart or something for not wearing a mask. And it's getting insane. And if we don't come together as humanity, as Americans, and create some consensus around something that we're, you know, I love this stuff, you know, COVID-19, that we're all in this together. We're going to get through this together. Well, we're not together, you know, we're not even close to together. And we're being divided, in my opinion, by the government, by the mainstream media, and whoever controls them, which I would suggest is the bankers. I would suggest it's these big wealthy corporations that are becoming everything, are controlling our lives. And this vaccination is going to be the next big step. And so we're going to have to decide, you know, is this right? Is this, and by the way, you know, who says it's going to be safe? You know, how much time they're rushing this thing? It was going to be 18 months. We might have a vaccination in 18 months. So I can't help but ask myself, why are they speeding this up so quickly? You know, why, what is going on? And then I keep going back to this, you know, people are waking up. You know, that's what I think started to happen. I think the energy started to shift in the universe. And people started to wake up. You know, you had the people, the yellow vest in Paris. You had the Hong Kong protesters. You had Donald Trump getting elected here. I mean, that's a pretty out of left field, right? You had a lot of things happening in the world, and people were waking up, and maybe the powers that be, the elite, which, you know, if you read a lot of papers about communism and what they were attempting to do here in America, they wrote these papers 40, 50, 60 years ago, how they were going to, like I said earlier, boil this frog. We're going to bring in this, and we're going to do this. And the last step of this taking over is demoralization. And more people are becoming demoralized. You know, people that I know are so positive, you know, are waking up and they just don't have that zest anymore. You know, I was just talking to Jess again, and she, you know, she's getting married next month. She thinks, you know, how do you even plan a wedding? And then these people that go into these hospitals, they can't have visitors. They can't have guests. It's heartbreaking to me. And now these poor kids, another year without school, all these people that had these beautiful jobs and careers. How about all these athletes that, you know, I'm not talking about the multimillionaire ones. I'm talking the ones that just gotten started. you know, worked their whole life to go from AAA to major leagues, and or just got into single A ball, whatever. You know, all these lives are being upset and ruined, and we haven't seen the effect of all this yet. It's gonna snowball and snowball economically. It's gonna snowball psychologically, emotionally, and we got to come together. And I don't know what the answer is, other than, you know, like I said yesterday, is we can vote. You know, we can find new people to vote for. Obviously, the people, you know, look at these people, Pelosi and Schumer and McConnell and left and right. I'm not a fan of either, but they've been there 30, 40 years, and they've all become very wealthy, you know, and I'm becoming poor. Most of us are becoming poor right now. We don't have the ability to make the money that we were making. Well, this flag drives me crazy. So, you know, I hope that, I know one thing we can do for sure is we can pray. Pray to whatever God, whatever creator, get in your heart and your soul and ask the creator of this, the good energy, the positive energy, whatever you believe in, Jesus, whatever it is. That's one thing we can all do. And I know people are starting to do that all over the world. The other thing we can do is wake people up. You know, if you, and it's difficult, I get it. You know, I have first of all, my wife and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of this stuff. And I have brothers and sisters. We have completely different opinions of what's going on here. So I get the difficulty. But the bottom line is we the people are in this together. And they, the government and the media and the people with all the money that control the world and create all these wars, okay, they're together. They are together. They're organized. They got so many secret societies, so many groups, you know, from the Bilderbergs to the Council on Foreign Relations. They got their act together. I mean, really, really well. And while they're doing all this to us and distracting us, they're taking more of our freedoms. They're going to tax us more. They're eliminating our jobs. And then if this supposed patent, Microsoft patent is correct, they're looking to total control us. And so this is what my research has showed me. I'm going to keep bringing you stories that, you know, we'll get into deeper things. I want to get into the economy next week and bring in on some special guests for you as well. So once again, we're live every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 to 6. If you like the show, please give us a thumbs up or and share it and subscribe or whatever people do on this. We would love to have you, and you can go to MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com. You can sign up to get be on our email list and get notified when things happen. And we'll just continue to try to do the best we can to make the world a better place. And that takes community. That takes one another. That takes courage. And willing to go out there and try to make a difference. You know, as I quoted in the first show, I think Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German in World War II that had an opportunity to leave the war, flee the war, and he ended up staying and dying because he wanted to help as many people as he could. And he said that a righteous man lives for the next generation. And so I heard that quote 30, 40 years ago, and when I was raising my kids and a younger man, it resonated with me. And then I always forget who said this. It could have been Einstein or Edison or somebody like that, but that evil exists because good men do nothing. Well, there's a lot of evil going on. If, you know, we'll go back to watch previous shows where we really get into this child trafficking, these satanic worship ceremonies, these children being just turned into sex slaves and sold, and babies being sold for their organs. That breaks my heart. And so right there is enough evil for us to agree on. So maybe we can all come together and support Underground Railroad or the young lady we had on earlier and support her work and just wake people up to that. And maybe we can stop it. So it's been great to be with you tonight. I wish you nothing but the best. If you're awake, keep waking up. If you're asleep, keep asking good questions. And we'll see you Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific. Until then, have a great day.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.